Hello, friends. It's time once again to visit that cozy little cabin in the meadow beside the wood and see what Al and Matt are up to now. Well, it looks like they've done some baking. I see gingerbread men and gingerbread women, gingerbread priests and lots of little gingerbread boys. They've just come out of the oven and are cooling on the counter. While they're waiting for their holiday treats to be ready to eat, they've got another list of questions for their friends around the world. Let's listen in and see if they get them all answered. Al and Matt speak to noted boy hound Mallory Duvall to get an update on her most wanted list. I should note here that while we don't edit the responses to Al and Matt's questions in the Cluster Flunk episodes, we had to make an exception just this once in order to remove my name from her list. It was on there like 6 times, and that's a little creepy, even for this show.
Okay, Mal. Mal the Malster, Mal Lorino. Why am I doing this? God, where did that even come
what
from?
What the hell was that?
I just turned into the copy machine guy. I apologize.
That was from Everything You Hate.
Yeah.
We decided yesterday that if I were Italian, I would be Malio.
It's a you.
It's a me, Malio.
Oh, God. All right. So we have a question here that we have devised for you.
Know that I'm scared.
Well, good. That is part of what we've been trying to do is install fear. Instill.
I knew what you meant.
Yeah.
You can also install it.
Yeah.
There'll be a little progress bar. Fear is 25% installed.
As far as you know, I may be a robot and you have to install the fear chip.
Oh, well. See, now I want to test if you're a robot. There's a whole other thing going on here now.
I have a test for that.
I have a Turing test here.
Yeah.
Is that the thing from Blade Runner?
That is probably a type of Turing test. Turing was like a scientist who said that if you cannot distinguish between a computer and a human, then you can just basically consider the computer alive.
Oh, okay.
Like, if you're talking to a computer and you don't know you're talking to a computer, then for all intents and purposes, it's alive.
It's basically Schrodinger's cat again kind of deal.
Sort of, only there's less death.
Less death, except there's no unlife. Death.
possible death. Potential death.
Well, if you tell the robot, I'm going to kill a kitten unless you tell me if you're alive or not.
Well, then it's basically Schrodinger's cat, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right. That's basically the Blade Runner test is where it's like they give you like these questions of to see how your emotions range. Like if you're okay with the kid getting killed, then you're a robot.
If you're okay with the kid getting killed, press 1.
And it's like, well, that's not fair because I don't like kids, but I'm not a robot.
But you know it is not socially appropriate to tell someone that you want a kid to die.
Well,
it's not. Sure. Oh fuck, I'm in a lot of trouble.
But see, I have to preface it with, I used to work at a theme park, okay? So, fuck kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like I say, there's a difference between hating children and letting other people know you hate children. Like, there's things you keep to yourself.
That's true. I don't really want children to die.
I'm not going to say on my own podcast that I want that, certainly.
I just don't want them near me for the most part.
I just don't want them to be alive anymore.
I don't want them to exist. That's not the same as dying.
Exactly.
All right. On to the question.
Yes.
So, Mal, it is well established you have crushes on a number of prominent nerd celebrities.
That is true. I have a crush on every boy.
No, not every boy. You seem selective. There seems to be a selection process there.
Okay.
If you could have a harem, a husband harem, of three to five nerd celebrities, who would be in it?
Oh, wow. You guys went there. You went direct for the throat.
But we're not getting filthy with it. We're just, you know,
no, sure.
This is all grade school crush. This is all Mal plus whoever in a little heart on your notebook.
Mal plus equals heart.
Right. You're totally innocent here.
Totally. Like if I could just like hang out with 3 to 5 in a high school crush kind of way. Okay. Right. Elementary school crush kind of way.
Yeah.
Checking. Do you like me? Yes or no?
Yes. Check one.
Please check one. Yes. No, maybe. Okay, well, Chris Straub would obviously be on the list.
Okay, of course.
For those of us, for the people in the audience who don't know who that is, please.
He would be the web cartoonist, Chris Straub, and he also does the Blamimations on Penny Arcade TV. He does Chainsaw Suit and Star Slip.
That's the dude who drew your current Twitter avatar, correct?
Yes, he drew me being killed by a cat with knives. Lazy,
Schrodinger's cat?
Indeed, wow. Possibly. Oh, God. Sheldon Cooper is a big one, but the fictional character Sheldon Cooper.
Really?
Who is that?
The guy from The Big Bang Theory?
All right, then.
Like the crazy antisocial one. He's my imaginary right now.
Just so you sure can pick him.
But not the actor, the character.
The character, yeah, for sure. Because he's so socially retarded, and I feel bad for him. It's like, oh, I want to fix you.
But Mel, we know so many people in our circle who are like that, and you don't actually like those people.
I like people fine. I don't like them.
Well, that's what I mean.
Because then it gets awkward.
Listen, people listening to this, don't get the impression that just because you're a social retard that Mal has a crush on you. This is very specific to this person.
Yes, exactly. Okay. It's not every social retard. No. His social retard, and I don't mean social retard as in you're a retard. I mean it as social retardation. Like, you don't know what you're doing and you're socially retarded.
Right.
Like, behind.
Okay.
I feel like I'm digging a hole.
Dig up,
stupid.
Oh God, I have to come up with 3 to 5.
You already got two. So you really
I got two.
The minimum is one more, but you could come up with more if you like.
Okay. The thing is like every nerd crush I have, they're pretty much already married.
Oh, that doesn't matter.
That's fine.
For the purposes
we're totally willing to destroy marriages.
Well, that and we're not building a harem literally for you. This is a hypothetical question. Yeah.
Okay. Colton would be on the list.
Jonathan Colton.
For nice. Sure.
I'm pretty sure according to internet legend and fact maven John Hodgman, Jonathan Colton is a feral man child. So I'm not sure.
That may be true, but generally I don't like the facial hair and the crazy beard. Well, like I said, it's a facial hair, the crazy beard and the crazy hair, but he is intelligent and he went to Yale, so that works for me.
Very nice. I mean not quite Yale good enough, not quite good enough to get into Harvard, but other than that, not
Ditto John Hodgman, also because he went to Yale, and I think that's awesome.
Listen, I would put John Hodgman in my harem, okay? That is And I'm pretty straight, but there's something about that guy. I want his life. I really, really
Oh, yeah.
He's really, really smart, and he's really, really funny, which I honestly think isn't fair.
And he's really well-connected.
Yes!
Yeah.
Like, he's been involved with so many things that I like.
Yeah.
I pulled out a They Might Be Giants DVD not too long ago, and he was in that.
Like, of course he was. Why not?
Motherfucker. So, yeah.
It's like, everything, I don't know if you guys have the same issue too, but every person I follow on Twitter suddenly will discover each other and then I'll get really mad.
That's weird. I have seen that happen.
It happens with us a lot, and I'm sure you guys get it on your show as well, where they start following you and then they want to see who you're talking to, so they start spreading out into your circle. Mm-hmm. And so we get a guy like Handsome Dan from Down Under who became, like, listened to our show, like, enjoyed me and Matt, and now he talks to everyone.
Yeah, it happens a lot.
Yeah. And sometimes it happens good, and sometimes it goes horribly wrong, but... Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you get Ramon, and I'm sorry.
Actually, he drew us a really awesome cover for our podcast.
That
so
is far. True.
You do not need to apologize for that guy.
I have nothing but good things to say about that guy, so...
I like Ramon. He makes me laugh, despite the fact that he tends to offend everyone else he talks to, so...
Fair.
It's part of his charm. And I would say my fifth one, would Colbert be a nerd, do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, then Colbert.
I've seen that guy bust out some deep, like, comic book references that I had to say.
Oh, yeah.
Matt, what does that mean?
He does have the Captain America shield, and he did make a reference to, I guess, on one of his shows, to one of the web comics that I like a lot. So nice. That made me very happy. Nice.
Yeah, you're going to be fighting a lot of nerd fangirls on that one, though, because...
Colbert army is strong.
Yeah.
As is the Colton army, so I understand. That's why I have my other three.
Very nice.
Mm.
That's a solid harem, and you cover a lot of ground there. Like, you got a cartoon, you got like a bard and a cartoonist and like a, I don't know, a mage.
Now go forth and make me a media empire.
Yeah, exactly. And
I do actually.
And a truthy teller. So, I mean, you got one of each of the main things.
The main classes, if you will.
Yeah. It's like some kind of weird, creepy RPG thing.
Party. Yeah.
You get a D&D guy in there and you're set.
Hmm.
Gary Guy.
To my list. How about that?
Who's that?
Chris Perkins, celebrity DM Chris Perkins.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a thing? You can be a celebrity DM now?
He
has done DMs for the Penny Arcade, Will Wheaton game, D&D games.
Oh, that guy. All right. Yes.
No, he's awesome. He's the best.
Okay. Well, very cool. I'm thinking like, wow, can you really just be famous for running a D&D campaign? I'm not judging. That's kind of cool. It's just like, really?
Huh. Listen, if you could, I would be all over that.
Like, that's Matt's ambition in life.
No, please.
Matt's ambition in life is to be Batman, and he can never be, so.
Yeah.
Well, you just need
a Batman who busts ghosts.
Well, right.
The best kind of Batman, really.
And is enlisted part-time in Starfleet.
Yes.
Batman is very capable of handling all of those things.
He has a plan for everything.
Yes. Yep.
Much and a better. Crush on every boy.
Unlike, say, Jesus, who says he has a plan for everyone and no one's seen any evidence of it at all, Batman has a plan for you.
So like a Cylon.
Yes.
No, is there a Batman religion?
I'm sure.
If there was, I know.
He would be the Pope of it.
Matt, maybe you should get on that. I would totally join.
Plus, I want to see that Pope hat with like the bat symbol instead of a cross. That would be great.
Oh, man. Now I'm imagining it in my head, and it's amazing.
In the name, in the name of the Biff, the Bam, and the Pow.
No, you'd have to name like the main Batman, like in the name of Adam West and Kevin Conroy and
Kevin Conroy and
Christian Bale.
Yes,
those are the three ones that you want to acknowledge, and the rest you just try to ignore.
The three wise Batman.
They bought gold, frankincense, and utility belts.
Batarangs.
Look, man, you can use that. You can use that frankincense to blind a person. I'm just saying.
Is that what
frankincense is for?
I don't know, man.
Why would you give that to a baby?
In Batmanology, yes. Because Jesus was Batman, and he obviously needed it to blind people, because he doesn't use guns. Pay attention!
But that's mostly because you can't hold a gun with that stigmata. It's very hard to do.
And the only reason he walked on water is because Mr. Freeze had frozen it.
It all makes sense now. Seriously.
Yeah, all fits together.
Christianity would make a lot more sense if Jesus was Batman.
If DC Comics were managing it, I don't know about that.
Well, I don't know about that either.
Then we just have Crisis on Infinite Bibles.
And then Moses punched a hole in reality.
Well, listeners, if someone could draw me a picture of the Last Supper done with Batman characters, I would be eternally grateful.
Hold it. I have a standing request for, in the style of dogs playing poker, dogs at the Last Supper. That supercedes your Batman at the Last Supper.
Ramon, get on that!
Because I really want to see, like, different kinds of dogs, like, how people choose to represent, you know, the characters in The Last Supper with breeds. And I love the idea of dogs eating at the table. They're not really supposed to be doing it, and just there's a lot of... It works on a lot of levels, okay?
If there are two things that Ramon loves, it's being a heretic and Batman. So I'm pretty sure he could do both for you.
Oh, very
awesome.
Nice.
Percent.
Blasphemy and Batman. The two Bs, really.
Batsphemy.
All right, on that note, it's time to go. We appreciate your time. I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon.
Not only did Algar marry Amanda, now he's dragging the poor girl through clusterflog hell. Will there be no end to her misery?
Well, since we tried to call someone and they weren't there, we have a slot to fill, so there's some lady in the other room that I'm going to...
This show makes me feel so special.
Doesn't it just... Just wait to
get
hear
in here and answer our question.
Quit looking at your question.
I wasn't looking at my question.
She's glancing over at my notes here.
Well, my
spoiling
notes.
Spoiling the surprise.
That doesn't appear on my notes.
Yeah, well, hey, let's see what's in the news this week. All right, so, Amanda, now that you have your own podcast, in what other ways will you be ripping us off, stealing our audience, and or belittling our great works?
Oh, anywhere I can think up. And also, we... don't exactly have a podcast yet. It's recorded and on iTunes, but you guys have sort of stolen my Big Thunder announcement.
No, because this won't post for a while, and it could post even later than that.
Could maybe not. Maybe even after not.
Why? Look, I already thought of that, okay? I know I'm not stealing any thunder now. Just
my thunder!
Realize. Look, you're the one who stole the podcast thunder. Hey, a podcast. What a great idea.
And I made you help me make it.
Yeah, you did.
That's why it's sabotaged.
I do enjoy when she does the imitation Amanda voice. That becomes so meta that my head hurts.
I'm still Amanda.
Yeah, but see, you're only one level of it. She's using a real Amanda voice to do a fake Amanda voice.
Well, that's how I sound on the podcast.
Obviously.
Is that shrill
on
sound.
Your podcast or on our
podcast? On your podcast.
What do you sound
your
like?
Your podcast is entirely made up of you going, I have a podcast.
La, 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 la.
And then Irene says it, except in German.
Right, of course.
Yes.
Which, how do you say that in German?
I have no
Dawson
idea.
Dawson Podcasten?
I have to ask Irene.
But you have to shout it. You can't just...
Well, yes. She shouts everything. She's always shouting.
There is some really bizarre video that actually Bill Corbett, my good great friend Bill Corbett, posted. Mm.
It's friend of the show, Bill Corbett.
Yes. All these strange celebrities standing on a beach singing Let It Be. I did not understand what was going on at all. It was very...
That's deeply disturbing.
But it was like all these C at least, or maybe D level celebrities, like George Wendt, and like, I don't know, George Wendt. they're all George Wendt level. I'm drawing a blank on any of the other names, but
George Wendt,
Carl Weathers would have fit right in. Yeah. Singing.
He was
Let
too busy
to
get a stew going.
Yeah, Huey Lewis was in there, and you know, just like that level. It people Hall. people you've heard of, but you know.
So, like the entire cast of the Ghostbusters music video,
quite probably.
Chevy Chase.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. No. Now he's on a hit show, so not Chevy Chase. No. But anyway, I thought it was this German show that put it together in the comments, and so I asked Irene to take a moment from her very busy Dracula studies to have a look and tell me what it was. And she's like, "There's no German there," and I felt like a complete idiot because it was Norwegian, and I cannot tell
you
the difference.
Racist.
I know.
You're the worst.
Look, I saw complex words all smushed together into one giant, vaguely English-looking word, and I thought it was German. I mean, you know, yeah. Clearly, it wasn't. So I feel bad about that. So.
You're the worst criminal since Hitler.
Fortunately, that gets me back on her good side, though. So
that's true.
So it all works out.
You
so how much
can hang out then?
How much Hitler is in this?
Oh, a lot.
Really,
a lot.
Miles O. Hitler.
does Tidro think Hitler is cute?
I don't think so.
Does she do like a review of Hitler?
She think his shoes are cute.
We didn't want to sort of blow our wad until later on.
Blow the Hitler wad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Understood. That's for sweeps, right?
Yeah,
you know when podcast sweeps. Oh, you'll find out. You'll look at my notes and you'll figure it out. And you'll
well, this way I don't have to do any of the work. I can just go through your work.
You could just ride
steal all our guests.
Highly successful wake.
Your highly successful corpse.
Yes.
Hell, I can't be on the show anymore. I've been bought out by
by Amanda Corp. Yeah, actually, iTunes is lousy with pod corpses. So. No, it's odd that we mention this because actually, with Irene doing her crazy Dracula studies and having, you know,
yeah, she
lots
took
of,
the week off.
Yeah, I actually ended up writing a review for them, which was it was fun to pretend that someone cared about what I think of a book for 5 minutes. So that was nice.
People care. Our literally tens of readers really care.
Oh, you get tons of readers. Everyone who Google searches for Tenant Feet.
Yes, they all come.
And of course, they stay to read the reviews.
Yes. Come for David Tennant's feet, stay for the reviews.
That is one of our highest rated reviews.
Listen, I don't even
David Tennant's feet.
I don't even look at our search criteria anymore because it's fucking weird. The things people will type into Google and they end up where you are, you don't want to know.
Her pastoral acres?
I don't know what that means.
Nope, we don't either.
Oh.
But,
is that a phrase one of you used?
Nope.
Then how did the search even bring them there?
We don't know.
It's a mystery.
Right. Very well, then.
Anyways, the podcast is more of a punishment than anything else. I made it as punishment because I came on this very show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and said...
And you slandered your co-host.
Yeah, I said she had done something that she hadn't actually done.
Wait, is that slander or libel? I can never keep
I think
the
it's
two.
Libel.
Penance.
Okay. Yeah, so this is penance. So she made me make a podcast.
Good. Well, I mean, you did throw her under the bus. You said, oh, yeah, she reviewed this book. She never reviewed that book.
That's how all podcasts
she
are made.
A very similar book.
Oh, whoops. Who can keep books straight? We're just girl on book action. Why would I know one book from the next?
Hey, I do movie reviews.
Well, then why isn't it girl on movie action?
That's the action
sound
part.
Good.
Why isn't that girl shoving like film canisters in Where the Sun Don't Shine in your logo?
That maybe for Christmas. Can get maybe we can get California Matt, the artist.
Hang on. For what?
for Christmas.
Listen, in this household we have both established this is your rule, in fact, that Christmas is canceled.
Yeah, but we might do a special header for it. I just don't want to do any presents or food or trees. Or
singing. That's
that.
The important one.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Damn right.
Simply.
Hey, all right, it's time for you to go now. Wow, I do like the freedom that this allows me to actually reach over and put my hand over the guest's mouth. We need that more often on this show.
Well, we can do that with every guest.
Yeah.
Give me the freedom to bite your hand.
My palm was flat against your hand, against your mouth. That would have been difficult.
And live on the podcast, Amanda ate Al's hand.
That makes for great radio.
Am I ever going to come on the podcast not to, to just shamelessly plug something?
Probably not.
Probably not? Okay.
Can't imagine why. No.
Look, it was either this or hats, okay?
I was expecting a question about hats. I really was. I got a new hat.
Yeah, see, and people are not getting questions they expect, and I like that. I like that people think we're predictable and we're swerving on them. We're changing
Guess
up.
What? We're not.
Yeah.
I do have a hat, though. Just in case there was any questions.
Say it in the voice.
Oh, it's well documented.
I have a hat. In fact, I have a new one.
That's great. All right, we got other calls to make. You got to go.
And off I go, apparently.
All right. Thank you for appearing, dear.
Thank you for plugging my my various works.
Yes, yes.
Al and Matt speak with with the angriest man in all of India to find out if he has ever seen anything that he couldn't find fault with.
So the ladies in particular have been talking about all the exotic accents we've been getting on this thing. We had, of course, his name is now Handsome Dan from Down Under, by the way, a couple of weeks ago. We had Irish Gav last week. And Ashwin, whether you believe it or not, there are ladies out there who in America who really do enjoy listening to you talk. So
that is very hard to believe.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you, I've heard it from two or three different people. Like, they kind of like it. Kind of dig the exoticness. The, you know.
I don't know, man. I've got friends in America who are like Indian friends, and they don't really get that much action. So, I don't think that's a particularly a true thing.
Are they dicks? Like, you know, it's not just the accent. You gotta, you know.
Well, they aren't dicks, but they're nerds. They're huge nerds.
Ah, well, there you go. Nerds never get laid.
Yeah.
So we got a question here for you. That speaks specifically to your temperament, to your knowledge. You are a noted complainer, a noted noticer of the discrepancies in things. Let's say a hater, if you will. So we have to know. Does anything ever get it right?
Ever?
Is there anything in any form of entertainment, a book, a movie, a game, that you have nothing negative to say about? Is there anything out there that just, yes, this is perfect, I can't say anything bad about this?
I have been watching a lot of these the 90s cartoons recently.
Yeah, I've noticed that on Twitter. You made your way through, what was it, like, what's some of the stuff you've been watching? I'm drawing a complete blank now.
I was watching Pinky and the Brain earlier today, and
That show gets it right.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that show gets it right. I watched a couple of episodes of Animaniacs. Enjoyed that.
Good.
Nice.
Excellent. I thought you might enjoy that because I know you appreciate the old like Warner Brothers stuff. So.
Oh yeah.
A lot of tributes. Oh, I know what you were watching that surprised me was the Duck Dodgers show.
Oh yeah.
The new Duck Dodgers.
Yeah. Yeah, the new one. It's not very. I don't like. It's okay.
Yeah,
it's got some good parts, not very other great parts. But yeah, Pinky and the Brain, I would say, gets it right.
Did you see the one where they reenact the Orson Welles thing?
Pinky and the Brain?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not yet.
They did an entire I think it was an Animaniacs, when they were still on Animaniacs, because it was just like a 5-minute segment. It wasn't like a full-length episode. But they did word for word the, every July peas grow there.
I was just watching the Maurice LaMarche thing. There was an interview on the DVD, and he talks about he does the bit for them, and the part, because it's for a kids cartoon show, he can't say I'll go down on you.
Yeah, that's in that episode I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'll
make cheese for you.
Yeah,
exactly. That's what he says.
And there's a couple of times where they change like the name of the company, like instead of Findus, they use something else so they don't get sued, I guess. But I think, from what I understand, Maurice LaMarche used to use that as like a warm-up, like when they're testing the mic and stuff. He would just go, "We know a remote farm in Lincolnshire," and they would get their levels right, and it cracked them up so much that they drew a whole episode around it.
Yeah, biggest in joke ever.
Yeah, I remember. I didn't see it, but I came home from work one day, and Famous Mark, take a drink. We had an apartment together, and he's like, "There was this really weird Pinky in the Brain where they're doing like a voiceover thing. I didn't get it at all." And we were missing that vital context to get what the hell they were getting at.
I think as were almost everyone who ever saw that sketch.
Well, I mean, because before the internet, I guess, I don't know, radio shows played that?
I don't know. I guess.
Yeah, probably radio shows, and yeah, I guess that's all it is. There was actually in the interview they were talking. He was talking about how because he was on Tiny Toons also, and they basically created Pinky. They created the character of the brain because he would just go into that Orson Welles bit like every now and then.
Very nice. They they mentioned also that I guess his brain. There's a little bit of Vincent Price in there too.
Is it? Oh yeah.
He said it's mostly Orson Welles, but there's also a little bit of Vincent Price. So,
yeah.
I can kind of
see the sneering kind of yeah.
Yeah.
And he also does a really good Shatner impression.
Really?
Yep. You know that outtake of Shatner that he says, I don't say sabotage, I say sabotage.
Yep.
Yes, we know it well. Yeah.
Don't tell me how to do it. It sickens me.
It sickens me. Yeah. So he did that also in the interview. It's really nice.
Oh, just very cool.
Spot on.
Excellent. So you have nothing bad to say about Pinky and the Brain. Anything else? Or is it...
Oh, I don't know. I can't think of anything right now.
So in the haters' world, Pinky and the Brain is pretty much it. Everything needs to aspire to the level of quality of Pinky and the Brain.
Exactly, yes.
You know what? I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's fine. So unfortunately, we're going to have to cut this short. I always enjoy talking to you, but we get a lot of crap to do, unfortunately. I did want to give you a chance to plug. I've been enjoying some of the blog stuff you've been doing. You did something the other day about Muhammad Ali that cracked me up.
Oh, yeah. That was amazing. A horrible, horrible song he recorded. Good God.
So are you actually updating that regularly? I mean, I follow it RSS and I don't see a lot of updates, but occasionally I see some.
Yeah. Now I'm updating it all regularly, about 2-3 times a week at least.
Excellent.
Great.
Yeah.
And for the people out there, do you have an address? Is it ashwinpandey.com or is it the...
Yeah, ashwinpandey.com, ashwinpandey.com.
And we'll have a link in the show notes.
He's
a funny guy when he's not yelling at people. So
yeah.
Well, sometimes that's when you're your funniest, actually. So never mind.
Yeah.
All right. Well, as always, a pleasure, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. See ya.
All right.
See you, man.
Ever a stylish pair, Al and Matt speak to their pal Beav to pick up a few fashion tips.
Okay, Robus, as apparently you are now known, we have a question for you.
Right.
That is here specifically for you, for your knowledge, for your wisdom, for your
and
experience.
Only you.
Yes.
Oh, and no one else. So don't tell anyone about it.
Yes, and don't be offended because it's offensive.
Awesome.
And whenever anyone says that, you know, it's always going to be great.
Should I keep my answer to myself?
No.
Give anything.
That's the one thing you should not do.
No, in fact, that sort of goes against the whole point of this.
Can I sing a cool song about Brandy?
I don't know. Can you?
No.
She, fairness, she got her question ahead of time because...
But it was still brilliant.
Yeah, it was. She wrote out sheet music and everything. It was freaking amazing. All right, so, Beav.
Hey. Yep.
We don't judge, but you're into some really girly stuff. I mean, like, next time I see you, I expect you to have little pigtails and a little dress and a little dolly. And maybe you're, like, skipping or something.
Sure. Were it not for my hair loss, absolutely.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So our question is, what's the girliest thing you're into, you big girl?
I'm really into Glee.
That's
pretty girly.
Because I mean, let's be clear here. I've met you. I've spent time with you. You have a lovely family. You have a wife and what is it? Two daughters.
Yes, absolutely.
You are. If you're in the closet, you're really deep in the closet. I'm pretty sure you're straight.
I am wildly and unabashedly heterosexual.
Yeah, and yet, you're the biggest girl I know.
I really am. I was always, I'm not all that manly.
But you can grow a beard.
Yes, I can father children.
Yes, and
I just made the fist pumping gesture for those of you.
Wow,
weren't you out doing some sort of outdoorsy thing last weekend? Like that was the reason you couldn't appear last time because you were out
sawing down a tree or doing a
turkey shoot, shooting 12 gauges.
That's what I thought. I thought you were out hunting. That's
absolutely.
You're not much more manly than that.
Yes,
neither Matt nor I are nearly as manly as that.
No, I often cut down trees and eat my lunch, et cetera, et cetera.
Fixing speedboat motors.
And yet, you're still the biggest girl I know. How is that
possible? I really am. I squee, which is something that guys shouldn't do. I have been known to squee. I call what I, and of course, this is how I refer to it, because I'm into that self-effacing thing where you kind of act, kind of hate yourself, but you don't really hate yourself.
Yeah, we call that Zioko-ing. Nope.
Yes, I like the Zioko, and only me. If somebody else does it, then I get pissed off. But for me, right. I think I'm a little bit overly girly. I say I have fangirl moments. I don't say I have fanboy moments. I say I have fangirl moments. And I know, I mean, I'm the person with me in the bathroom every time I go. And I understand I'm not a girl. And guy parts just don't do it for me. But still, I watch Glee. I watch Project Runway. I don't watch Sex in the City, which is how you know I'm not gay.
Hang on. True. Now. I actually watched that show for a while there. I got kind of sick of it, but it got a little repetitive. But I did enjoy it for a time there. And
you outed yourself long ago, though.
Yeah, that's fine.
Are you a Samantha?
No, I'm a who's the one that looks like Dave Foley? I'm her.
Dave Foley.
No, the girl.
You're a Dave.
Yes.
Oh, Cynthia Nixon?
That's actually, I stole that joke from Don and Mike. They always said she looked like Dave Foley. And I looked at her and like, oh my God, she's not hot anymore. She looks like fucking Dave Foley.
Who was that? Is that Cynthia Nixon or is that?
Yeah, the tall redhead.
Yeah.
Not Samantha and not Horseface and not the cute one. The other one.
Right. The cute one is Kristen something or
She briefly married Agent Cooper on that show. That was cool.
Yeah, Cynthia. I think that's Cynthia Nixon. Which again, I don't watch the show, and still I know that. So
you know, there you go.
Yeah. So no, I watch Glee. I squee. I stand with my hand on my hip in an odd way sometimes, which is embarrassing for me, but I've decided I'm comfortable that way. So
are men?
I think it's a sign of manliness. I think it's like a woman. I would say I stand with my hand on my hip in that way. But it's comfortable.
But it sounds it sounds like Matt also does that. Is that what you're
saying? Yeah, it is really comfortable.
Have you been winning man contests recently? I'm not trying to cast aspersions, but
listen, I've never won a man contest in my life.
Man contest seems like one of the gayest things I could possibly think of.
only if that's the prize.
You win the gentleman.
Yes.
So my favorite Venture Brothers jokes were, it's a gentleman's agreement, so you win the gentleman. I don't know who, I'm pretty sure Matt started this. Recording these segments, you know, there's a lot of in-between time. There's a lot of he and I putting our heads together and making sure the questions are right and, okay, who's next? And, you know, like, we don't exactly immediately hang up with you and call the next person. And so there's a lot of downtime, and we end up, there's a lot of little jokes between us that don't make it on the show. And one of the things is Matt keeps singing, old
singing
standard,
in the
singing in the bathtub, and he did it for weeks and weeks until I googled it and realized that second line, da na 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 na, is actually everyone's so gay. And I'm wondering if his subconscious is singing in the bathtub so that he can get to that next song and finally admit to himself.
That's actually his worldview. So
from the bathtub,
it's almost a political statement for him, or maybe it's just a statement of fact when you're in Vancouver. Yeah.
Okay. So, girliest thing. Getting back to the point at hand. Like, yeah, you named some things, but what is the king or queen girly thing?
Is the girliest thing? I don't know. I think I just have an elevated and extended girliness about me.
Now, to what do you attribute that? Because we come from a place where, you know, very manly, drunken rednecks. A lot of watermen. A lot of hunters.
Yeah,
if they don't
have somebody to chase around in their trucks while calling a bag, you know, then what will they do? They'll go set fires. So I provided that person for them to chase around in trucks and call names and bully and stuff like that.
So,
I would say. Well, we're getting into less. Less funny and more serious waters here, but
just asking what you know where it comes from, because we don't come from a particularly gay place.
I would say, dad on deployment, older brother, 6 years older, not in the picture as much, and raised by my mom. You know, it wasn't not a single parent thing, but a mom at home with the baby for like 6 years without anybody else, you know, there basically. So that may be something to do with it. Plus, I'm kind of a girl guy more than a guy anyway. Like, I have girlfriends. I had female friends a lot. I'm that kind of a sensitive guy. If you say, you know, guys do this, I probably don't do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Except for pee standing up and other things related to, you know, my junk.
And shooting turkeys.
And shooting targets to win meat products.
Well,
it's called a turkey shoot, but really you're just shooting.
You don't actually get to shoot the turkey.
You don't. But there was drinking and stuff. I wasn't drinking, but I think a bunch of guys drinking Southern Maryland guns. That was actually almost too manly for me. Dare I say I swooned.
No.
Well, at least you didn't squeeze.
You dare not say.
Have I topped myself yet? I thought a good swoon or a case of the vapas would, you know.
All right, this interview's over. Well, Beav, as always, a pleasure. I'm sure.
Oh, great talking to you. Yep. Right. Take care.
Take care.
Bye.
And now, in an exclusive pay-per-view event, Al and Matt present the Black Mage Cage Fight.
All right, we don't have a lot of pairs, and the last two that we had were married, so I'm not sure what the deal is here exactly. but DJ and Brandon have been writing to us, listening to us for quite some time, and the first time we've had them on, so good to have you guys on.
Thank you.
Thanks. It's great to be here, I guess.
Darn right.
Well, your enthusiasm is palpable, let me tell you.
Yeah. way to go for the apparently there, Brandon.
So what is the deal? You guys are related? Are you married? Are you what's the story?
I guess you called it there, DJ.
Well, yeah, I did. We had a bet going.
What?
I win.
That we would ask if you guys were gay?
Exact. Well, who started that rumor?
Matt started that rumor, actually.
That's true. I did.
No, that's not your official question. So if the bet pertained to that, then...
No, that's just a pre-question to get you in a questioning mood.
Yeah, I'm doing the talk show thing. I'm doing the, so, I hear you in.
So,
yeah.
No,
what have you been up to lately?
Yeah, right. No, when I first moved out to this area from Los Angeles, Brandon was the first dude that actually talked to me. So we've kind of known each other since and have grown into, you know.
So you're BFF.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
All right. And that's not even, I'm really not implying any kind of like gay anything that really just, you know, you guys are your pals. That's cool. I honestly never knew because I thought at one point one of you said you were brothers and then like, well, you got different last names. Is that like are you doing that like brother from another mother thing or how does that work?
Pretty much.
Okay. And the question we have for you, I'm sure you probably knew this already, pertains to the fact that when you guys write to us, both of your email accounts say Black Mage something or other.
I still win the bet.
Well, you know.
We are nothing if not predictable.
We're never not nothing if not predictable. So now that we have both of you together, we demand that you fight it out for our amusement over the title of Black Mage. Loser has to bear the title Brown Mage.
Well, wow. So, fight it out, like with like swords and shit?
Well, I don't know. Are you guys in the same location?
Do you have swords?
Well, if I run down the hall, I'm going to unplug my mic, so that won't work.
Well, then it has to be a verbal battle. It has to be like some kind of call each other names or, I don't know, like a rap battle maybe, like something that makes, you know, something you can do on the radio.
Style insult battle.
Well, he's better at the rapping bit, or at least making shit up off the top of his head.
Freestyling. And
go figure, nothing is coming to me.
Can you beatbox?
Yeah, can you
no.
bust some fat beats?
Oh, I could send my legion of cats to his room to destroy him. That might work.
At the start.
How would you counter that move, Brandon?
Send by one cat at him, I guess.
Okay.
Is it a larger cat?
Can you get a dog?
No, yeah. but there are two dogs, but they're also his.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Booth is particularly crazy. He could probably take them all. Wow.
See, Matt's going with the traditional, like, itchy and scratchy rules of, like, you know.
Cat, mouse, cat, dog, horse.
Right. A horse is next?
Yeah.
Does one of you have a horse?
There are horses in the backyard.
There are horses in the backyard, yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Where the hell do you guys live? In the Nexus?
No. The
horse is actually better if we did.
Yeah, well, you know.
Are you on, like, what is it? Damn it, I've forgotten now. The planet where the horses were.
Horse that, planet?
Yeah. Horse Pepsi. I'm spoiling here.
Nay.
Wait, seriously though, you have horses?
No. The neighbor behind us does.
Oh.
Okay, well clearly this is going to have to be settled with a joust.
Yeah, that works. Now, when I think Joust, I think of the old video game Joust, and they need to climb on ostriches, but...
Or emus. And
are they emus?
No, ostriches. Okay. This is ostriches.
Okay. I think the best we can do there might be llamas. There's someone around here that has llamas.
Ooh. That would rule.
Now, what, Matt, what do you think they should replace jousting lances with? Because if we're going with a non-traditional animal, we got to go with a non-traditional weapon.
I'm a big fan of the paper towel tube with a boxing glove on the end.
I am okay with that.
Me too.
Awesome.
Like a spring? Maybe like cram it in there with a spring? So
oh, that'd be great.
So if you get like within a foot of them, you somehow release it and it springs out and punches the guy?
Oh, yes.
Like a cheesy McDonald's toy.
Yeah, that could be good. Like a hamburger that transforms into a robot, that kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. And when you pull it back, it goes...
it kind of mutters the sound that it makes.
Yeah.
Moo.
That's really less of a happy meal than more of a pathetic meal.
It really is.
So really...
I'd like an order of homeless meal, please.
So if we had to pit you guys in this hypothetical llama paper towel tube with a boxing glove style combat, who do you think would win? Who's got the skills to take the other one off?
To pay the bills, if you will.
Yes, I will.
And you must.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question.
That really is. I mean, that's like you know. You imagine how to like take someone out and destroy someone, but you never figure it'll be your best friend.
Oh man, that's the plan.
That's usually what happens, yeah. Though.
Well, I know
exactly how I'm going to take out Al.
Come on, have you not read Batman? I mean, that's the first plan you have is Kryptonite Ring.
Good point.
So yeah,
I've never actually ridden a horse like animal, so I think DJ may have. So he might have a little bit of never.
No, never.
Oh, that goes there.
Well, so you have equal handicap there, and llamas don't they have like a weird camel hump or something? Like, doesn't that? They're not even good for riding, as I recall.
Llamas are jerks. That's all I know.
Well, I know they spit.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, like if you offend their parentage, I think they like spit at your feet. Kind of thing. Never offend a llama's father. That's the worst thing you can possibly do. Now, so you guys are in you're somewhere in California, right?
Yeah, we're in California.
So there's a fair Mexican population there. There's a fair Spanish speaking. So what I'm getting at here is, does anyone refer to them as llamas?
Probably.
You know what? As probably like a twisted joke somewhere. Yeah, it's probably the guys down the street that own them.
I just, you know, I live in a heavily Hispanic neighborhood, and I speak a little bit of Spanish, and I keep waiting to hear them say something cool like llamas, and they never do.
No.
That's because they know you're watching.
Yeah, they're always talking about really mundane, you know, paying the bills and going to work. And like, come on, I know that, but I don't care. I want to hear about llamas.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you.
No, that's okay. That's I'm just trying to figure out all the guys I work with. I probably wouldn't be able to repeat half the stuff on here.
Oh,
on here? Come on, we came out of the gate with fish fucking. You can say whatever you want here. It's the internet. We don't have any like sponsors or anything.
I work with a guy who is seriously, we'll just say, disturbed in the head.
Oh.
Is it?
Wait, I got fired. Which one are you talking about?
Yeah, I was about to say, is it him?
No. No, I'm talking about Miguel, who will never listen to this podcast.
Miguel is a very common name. That's not like there
could be any. No, I know. I'm just saying the particular individual.
That's really his name. Yeah.
Yeah, his attention span does not last that long.
Ah, well. Well, speaking of
that, I like mine.
Speaking of that, neither does ours. We're going to have to wrap this up, unfortunately.
But we're dedicating this one to you, Miguel.
Yeah.
I would say in the jousting part, by decree, my house, my rules. So, Brandon, you lose.
Ooh. Damn it.
You're now officially the brown mage.
I think I can live with that, actually.
Let's pick up your wizard cap on the way out.
All right, guys, it's been a blast. I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon. So, take care.
Thank you.
All right.
Al and Matt speak to Brian, the superior Lynch, about what he did to pay for college.
All right. As it turns out, Brian was actually, I was thinking, oh, is he, are we catching him at the Renfest or, you know, one of those things? Well, it turns out he's playing D&D, so...
Which is awesome.
I'm not the only one playing D&D.
Well, yeah, like I said, we, if you're playing with your brother, you need to make sure he falls into a, I don't know, gelatinous, I don't know, D&D.
Stuff. Acid pit.
Yeah, there you go. A plus
Killed
one.
Some gelatinous arc. Acid.
A plus
yes,
one.
Yes, gelatinous.
Gelatinous.
Right, oh, no. What you need to do is a plus one arsenic microbe.
Oh, yes. Awesome.
Get topical with your D&D.
A plus one overhead discovery.
Hey, come on.
I wanted Europa pea space lobsters, and they did not deliver them.
Listen, I prayed for that, and it didn't happen.
Well, we can only...
Well, there's your problem.
We can only,
yes, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hopefully if you sever your leg, it will be one day be the greatest day. So we can continue to...
All right.
So, Brian, we have a question for you, for your knowledge, for your interests.
All right, I'm thrilled.
We're going more for your historical knowledge here. But it also ties specifically to you. So people with the last name Miller used to be Millers.
Mm-hmm.
Bakers used to be Bakers and so on. So,
yeah.
Lynch, what the hell? Did you guys hang people or what?
Okay, well, that's, as far as I can tell, as far as I've ever been able to work out, Lynch just means person who is named Lynch.
So you
it's like all these names have like fancy, like, you know, things behind them, and this one is just like people who are from Lynch.
Oh,
but there's like no place called that.
Hmm. Yeah, see, I
but
think
the original form was De Lynch, which would mean from Lynch, but there's no place called Lynch.
Well, the original Lynch sunk into the ocean thousands of years ago.
That fell over, sank in the swamp, and then blew up. Right. Now, see, I figured you, and this sounds like an insult, but it's honestly not. You strike me as one of those guys who knows, like, name history and stuff. You're like, one of those guys who works at the little cart at the mall that can print out a little certificate that says, this is what your name means.
Yes, I would totally be able to do that. I would be able to work a certificate printer, at least.
And those guys, I mean, that's boring now because they're basically just pulling up Wikipedia. But, you know, like 15 years ago when I worked at a mall, it was actually like, I figured these guys were like time travelers or something. And they would come, you know, time travelers. And they would come, you know, like, okay, what's your name? Okay, where are you from? Okay, and then I'll be right back.
All right, let me just step into my DeLorean TARDIS here and go back in time. And hello, what's your name? And why?
Yeah, exactly. See, I could picture you doing that. I could picture you, like, having an elaborate suitcase full of, like, period costumes and...
Different denominations of money from all the different time periods.
Right, exactly. Right. Not exactly a Doc Brown, but more of, like, an actor doing Doc Brown's bidding.
Perhaps my friend Mr. Whoever the local lord is here who has his face stamped on this coin could convince you.
Wow, so you could bribe with the best of them. That's fantastic. But really, Lynch.
I was actually just looking up to see where the name Watt comes from, but I actually can't find it. Apparently, it's just old English.
Yeah, I mean, we're from Scotland. Mm-hmm. My direct ancestor actually is the guy, one of the many guys who were credited with inventing the steam engine.
Oh, so that Watt.
Yeah, after which the unit of measure Watt is named. But before that, I have no fucking clue.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt is from the guy that invented robot ham.
Well,
yes, exactly. We were a noble race of people who put pigs in rowboats.
Oh, no, this is interesting. Etymologically, it comes from row bottom, meaning a hole in the ground.
that seems valid.
A hole in the ground that deer poop in.
Oh, wow.
Not necessarily that they poop in, but like that like the deer stand in, and I assume that's what they're doing there.
Well, they could be mating. Come on, let's...
Okay, the deer either poop or have sex in. That's where your name comes from.
For some reason, right through my head flashed, starring Ron Algar Watt and Matt Hole in the Ground. We gotta get
and Matt Deer Poop Hole. Ron invented the steam engine and Matt Deer Poop in a hole.
Oh no, I invented no such thing.
Featuring Brian and Kevin, nobody has a clue.
I was really hoping that you guys were actually like hangmen back in the day, like, you know, like the Black Hoods and all that. And then you go home and have a nice family and eventually it produces you guys.
Oh, yeah. I can see that happening. Mm. No, it's actually the process of lynching was popularized by a guy named Charles Lynch. He was a judge who was a big fan of the excessive punishment.
One of those. So the original hanging.
Not
judge.
Actually in like the Civil War. Like it didn't start with like Civil War stuff. He was in the American Revolution. Mm. He was a Southerner. He was from Virginia. He had a plantation.
So lynching originates in the U.S.
Yes.
USA.
Charles Lynch had a plantation, and he, I was trying to remember this now, he had a, he wasn't like an official judge, mm-hmm. but he like ran a court.
He proclaimed himself
like
judge.
An official villain, and he published, he punished people who supported the English uh-huh. during the Revolutionary War.
So Canadians.
Oh, man. That was a bad segment for me.
You guys got yours back in 1812.
Well, yeah, but then they burned down the White House, which they still try to remind us of constantly.
Well, whatever, we built another even whiter house.
This is true.
Is that racist? That sounded racist.
It sounded racist, but I think it's cool. I think you're cool at least for another 2 years with that joke.
I mean, it is. Like, I mean, it's, you know, it's just bragging about how white something is always sounds a little iffy.
This is true.
You know, like that time that Matt was bragging about how white he was. Well, we all got uncomfortable.
That did get a bit awkward, yes. So you guys, was this an ancestor of yours? Are you willing to claim, intellectual ownership of lynching? Or
no, we weren't. We were not living in the United States at the time.
I see. Oh, that's right. You guys are Irish, aren't you?
Yeah, we came Irish over lynchings. When the potatoes crapped out. Ah, we're from that crowd.
Nice.
Actually, I think that was my mom's side. Beat the potatoes over. they just came over because they wanted to and settled in New Jersey, and then Dad's family came over and went coal digging in Pennsylvania.
Now, see, your brother bitches about his long, horrible commute of the damned, but really, coming all the way over here for potatoes, that is a fucking commute.
That's great.
And they did. It was a commute. They went back after work every day.
I just they came over for me potatoes.
And then had to turn the boat around. Sorry, you are not speaking it back to Ireland today, back to the coal mines.
That's a pretty good Chief O'Hara there.
Yeah.
I want Chief O'Hara to
well
be
on Star
Batman
Trek
movie.
Yeah,
I want Chief O'Hara to be in the next Batman movie played by Colm Meaney.
I saw you mention awesome. That was a really great idea, and now I'm like they can make him serious. He doesn't have to be the cartoon Irishman anymore. He can just be the Chief of Police.
They gave him a first name a few years back, and they named him Clancy after Chief Wiggum.
Wow.
And he was killed by the Hangman in the Dark Victory.
Oh, that's
bringing it all back around.
Why would you kill? Why would you kill Chief O'Hara?
They wanted the guy to alternate between killing good cops and bad cops, but they realized that they didn't have any good cops that anybody knew, characters.
Except Commissioner Gordon, and you don't want to kill him.
Right? Yeah, they had like one guy from year one who was like not that bad, and then another guy who was set up in the Long Halloween.
Well, hang on, then you got Montoya, the only good cop in Gotham.
She wasn't around
at the time because this was like Batman year two.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so they just introduced Chief O'Hara early in the story so that they could kill him later.
Oh, that's
get a
horrible.
Big red mustache. It's great.
There's no Harvey Bullock either, come to think of it.
Yeah. Well, he's not what you might call a good cop, really.
No, but he is awesome.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome. I mean, most of my Batman references come from the animated series, of course. But
yeah,
oh yeah. Remember that one episode where they were doing like a Rashomon thing, and everybody was telling their version of like how Batman saved them?
Yeah, that was great. That had an out of nowhere swipe at Joel Schumacher.
Not that one. That was the one with the little kids. No, there was one where Bullock and Montoya and Officer, we need a third person to make a Rashomon tribute work. Were all telling their stories of when Batman saved them from, like, a warehouse explosion.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think I saw that one.
And in Bullock's version, he was a huge hero, and Batman was a brutal psycho. And...
yeah, that was great.
Well, now I got to go watch that.
Yeah, you do.
I think it's
on so
the
do
first,
I.
Disc set.
I've digitized them all now, so it's I'll figure it out, because I'm that
and I
cool.
I think it's on the first digital set. Digital set.
No, it's just like a 100 titles that I have to figure out which one is which. So the one that ripped off Rashomon, that's what they call it, right?
Yes.
I think it's called Perspective.
Ah.
Hold on, let me just look over these episode titles on my DVDs and see which one looks familiar.
While we're waiting, Matt, why don't you sing the people a song?
I would love to see the one that ripped off Rashomon done in the Batman animated series stylized title cards.
The one that ripped off Rashomon.
Yeah.
That would look good, and it would have, like, a picture of, like, you know, the Grove from Rashomon, and then Paul Dini sneaking away from it.
No, I picture, like a stylized burglar, like, with a black mask and a striped shirt and a hat, like, carrying a sack and carrying the copy of Rashomon in his other hand, maybe.
Get back here, Alan Burnett! Oh, that's really funny to some people listening.
That's okay.
You know what? It's got to be this one. POV.
Excellent. Well, as soon as we...
That sounds right to me.
As soon as we end this call, I'm going to go watch that.
Yes.
Hooray!
Which, unfortunately, has...
this call, I'm going to go play Dungeons & Dragons.
Well, kill Flonk.
Yay!
Please.
You know I will.
War on Flonk. All right, Brian,
I will kill him with my loot and my magic.
Oh, that's right. You're a useless guy. I forgot.
Yeah, bard.
No, I'm not a useless guy. I inspire people with my bardic songs.
Yeah.
I've never played D&D, but that doesn't seem very helpful.
Very inspiring. I'm a valued member of the team.
like a yeah. Walmart team member.
Yes. I'm the greeter.
All right. Well, Brian, so always...
Like, hello, monsters. Thank you for coming to our adventuring party. And the rest of the team, they'll be fighting you now. I'll stand back here and sing a song and try to give them bonuses.
Hooraloo-raloo.
Hurtidaitidai. Meet nice. Ancestor Chief O'Hara.
Excellent.
Bless me, bagpipes.
Well, no, hang on. Now you're going somewhere else with that.
Well, yeah, now I'm quoting Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah.
And he's Scottish.
I think you'll find those are me bagpipes. All right, Brian. Always a pleasure. I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, talk to you soon.
All right, take care.
See you, man.
Being big fans of obscure geography, Matt and Al were eager to speak to Dirk about America's forgotten state, Indiana.
All right, I'm sure Dave's little intro said that we're talking to Dirk, and we are, but a few weeks ago he asked us on Twitter to just call him Don Draper, so that is what we're doing.
And yeah, we're always open to requests like that.
Yeah, so Don Draper, welcome.
Thank you. I'm smoking 3 Lucky Strikes at the same time.
Awesome.
Do me a favor, no, if you get a chance, give Betty a pop in the mouth.
Oh.
I'm usually not a fan of violence against women, or against anyone, really. I'm kind of a pacifist, but I'm sorry, she needs a smack.
Oh, believe me, no one more than me knows that.
Very good. All right, so Dirk, we got a question here specifically for you. You're from Indiana, is that right? You're there in America's heartland. The only things we know about Indiana are Adrian Bochnivsky and former vice president and Murphy Brown adversary Dan Quayle. So can you compare and contrast Indiana's two greatest living folk legends?
Yes. Yes, I can. For one thing, Dan Quayle does not know how to spell potato. I believe Adrian knows how to spell it, but I could be wrong.
I like how you were charging in there confident, and then you had to backpedal. Well, I don't. Maybe he doesn't.
I've never seen him spell potato.
I think he does.
I've never seen him write it down, but I'm for the sake of the conversation, I'll assume he does know.
Very well.
Adrian Bochnivsky, unfortunately, does not have a museum dedicated to him.
Yet. He's under 30. I mean, he's still got plenty of life in him. So
that's true. Well, to me, that's like 85, because, you know, I'm just a mere 22 years old. Wow. So
young.
Yeah, and yet you're Don Draper. How does that even work?
Time travel.
Ooh, time travel. All right, moving on.
Yep.
Batman gets weird in the fifth season.
Well, I'm pretty sure that Adrian loves Murphy Brown, and if he doesn't, I'm going to stop being friends with him, because I love Murphy Brown.
As well you should. It was a paragon of 90s sitcomery, I think.
When I was just a child, I watched that every night, faithfully, every weeknight.
Is that one of those shows where you're so little you don't really get that there's politics going on, and you're just, like, laughing because you're supposed to? Like, that was MASH for me.
Yeah, I laughed when they called Miles a butterpat. I thought that was the funniest thing.
Oh,
and I was like 5 years old. So.
I used to also watch Three's Company when I was little, and I had no clue what was going on.
But oh, yeah,
it was
I had
awesome.
It was my favorite show when I was a kid.
Yeah, But I had just absolutely no idea, but it was a delight.
So, well, listen, Mr. Furley freaking out goes a long way.
So for you, that was Murphy Brown, huh?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That and Coach, ironically. I hate sports, but I loved Coach.
Really? You hate sports? Why do we have you on more?
I don't know.
You're so on the same page as us.
I'm open to more interviews, believe me.
Absolutely. So what else you got between Danny Boy and Adrian Boy?
Danny Boy?
Got a few pounds on Dan Quayle. Pretty sure of that.
I don't know. I mean, has anyone seen Dan Quayle lately? I mean, look what happened to Al Gore. He put on some weight. He grew a beard. Like, maybe, you know, failed vice presidents kind of, like, let themselves go, you know?
They kind of turn into mountain men after they get out of college.
Yeah. I mean, one only assumes
somewhere that Dan Quayle is pining for gold, mining for gold, panning for gold.
Yeah, with Spiro Agnew and God, I can't remember any other Walter Mondale,
Walter Matthau.
Yes, Walter Matthau.
There we go.
All right, so yep. Who comes out on top in the race for best folk hero of Indiana?
Oh, Adrian, by far.
Excellent.
Oh yeah.
So we need to work on like a statue and a museum and all that.
I'm already crafting a bronze statue of Adrian right now.
He did cut down an entire forest one time.
Well, we could donate a little bronze to that effort. I think I'm sure I got some bronze here somewhere that can be melted down.
I actually have a sign. We buy bronze. It's not as popular as we buy gold, but take a little bit of that.
Well, what we'll do is Matt and I will get into the Olympics, the next Olympics, and score third place in as many things as we possibly can, and send you all the medals to melt down to make a statue for Adrian.
You are truly honorable.
It is going to be a very small statue.
Yes.
Possibly invisible.
But we do have two countries between us, so we have twice as much chance of winning, at least.
You got me there.
I thought Canada was the number one exporter of bronze anyway. Don't you have bronze factories set up all over Canada?
Oh, yeah, they run all night.
That's what I thought.
Because, of course, night is the best time to make bronze.
You're making it so much less complicated. I was trying to come up with some ridiculous circuitous. Somehow that just seems the right way to pay tribute to Adrian, is making it as indirect as possible.
That's true. Well, it'll be built by a Rube Goldberg machine. Does that help?
Yeah, that definitely would do it.
Okay.
All right, Dirk. Well, always a pleasure to talk to you. I'm sure we'll have you on again soon, and take care.
All right. Talk to you later.
Yeah.
Al and Matt talk to another newlywed couple, Jen and Joel, about a hypothetical 60s television trifecta. Here's how it went.
All right.
42. This.
No, that is, nope, that's not it.
Picard.
No.
No, definitely not it. So last time we had Jen on to discuss some sitcoms and so forth, and while she was speaking to us, looming in the background is another old friend of mine, her hubby Joel. And we had to chase him out of the room. I felt a little bad about that. So,
it happens all the time.
Apologies for that. But
usually with a turkey baster.
All right, then. So,
all right.
We have a question here that we have devised for you two based on your experiences, on your knowledge, on your expertise.
God help us.
And no one gets questions in advance except for the one person that wrote us a song. So
yes, and that was only fair.
Unless you're prepared to do that.
Yeah.
I can write you a bean haiku in about a minute.
let me
But you're also eating up our internet connection, so we can't, you know, look anything up on Wikipedia while you ask us.
Well, that's fair. No, this is a total hypothetical just for you guys. Like, kind of thing,
so. Suck it. You're right.
Also, incidentally, Jen, I know you're fairly new to Twitter. Haiku is the best way to stay within that 140 character thing.
I tried that, and it lasted for all of, like, three tweets, and then I got really pissed off. Because The problem is that I usually have as my last line, make the bad man stop. Uh-huh. And that eats a good five words or a good five syllables out of whatever message you were trying to send.
You need to start using adverbs.
Oh.
Judiciously, you know.
you just counted on your fingers when you said that.
I did. Yes, I did.
I can't. You're 3,000 miles away, and I could still tell by the way by your cadence.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're holding out fingers.
Counting on fingers.
All right. So, sorry. Here's your... Did I use that incorrectly?
No, he was counting on his feet.
All right. Here we go.
Okay. I don't know how that sounded over there, but I just opened a soda all over me.
Yeah, so. You just got
sprayed. Oh, awesome.
Oh, nice.
That is the sound of ginger ale traveling 3,000 miles over the internet.
And down my arm.
Did you just win the big game? Is that what that's about?
No, she just had that out on the stove for like 3 hours.
Ah, well, that would do it. Ginger ale on the stove.
So do give us half a second while Jen finds a towel.
Mopping. Never said. Very Continue. Good. We're mopping.
This is what domestic bliss means. All right, go ahead.
Okay, here's your question. If you were to pit Jeannie and Major Nelson against Samantha and Darren on the newlywed
mm-hmm.
game,
mm-hmm.
who would win?
Well, in the interest of full disclosure, I never liked Jeannie.
Okay, but this isn't about who you like better, although it could be, because if you like her better, you know, if you like Samantha better for her intelligence or for her...
Okay, well, so we're talking...
he didn't have a TV growing up, so...
No.
As always, you know, as a project manager and system engineer, my job is to ask questions when asked them.
Very well.
So, are we talking the old newlywed game or the current newlywed game?
Old newlywed game.
In the book, so Bob.
Yes, I didn't know there was a second newlywed game.
Did I?
Oh, yeah, no.
And shame on you for knowing that in the first place, babe.
Well, I didn't have a television as a child. It doesn't mean I didn't make up for it in college.
I was going to say, you should know the basic cultural shorthand of I Dream of Jeannie versus Bewitched. That's fairly standard
right. okay.
for people
and,
of our generation.
And so, are we assuming that we're not going through the legendary Bob Eubanks, where's the worst place you've made whoopee question?
Yeah, exactly. In the okay. butt, Bob.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which actually, I've seen the clip, and I wish it were that cute. But she actually says in the ass, and it just kind of, it blows the whole punchline because in the butt, Bob's kind of like, oh, well, that's weird and creepy for TV, but kind of cute. But yeah, she just blows the delivery in her face.
Especially if it was Barbara Eden, but I really don't see Elizabeth Montgomery doing
as
that.
As long as she didn't show her belly button, it was fine.
I never saw Elizabeth Montgomery's belly button. Did you?
She never revealed much of anything, did she? She was always
pretty hot,
not Elizabeth Montgomery, but Barbara Eden. The whole point was that she wasn't allowed to reveal her belly button.
Well, right, I do remember that, but I'm saying Samantha, I thought, like, she wore the tight sweaters, but, you know.
Oh, dude, trust me. Like, a 13-year-old me enjoyed me some cashmere sweaters on Elizabeth Montgomery, okay?
Okay, but just Elizabeth Montgomery, right? Not like Endora or, like, I don't know, Cousin Arthur.
Well, you know, I do have a thing for slightly older women, but, you know, not 500-year-old women. So there is a limit.
So Gladys Kravitz, then.
Okay. So the other question is, would Jeannie be able to use her supernatural powers?
Oh, but presumably they both do.
Yeah.
Matt, would you agree that the
part of
the...
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Okay, but Jeannie, you know, being an actual genie is immortal.
I just
Samantha's just a witch.
She's a genie. I get it now. It's like wordplay. Okay, sorry. Go
on. Really?
Yeah, like a genius. See? Okay.
Very well. How do we know that Samantha's not immortal? I mean, that's...
They live a tremendously long time. I don't believe they're immortal.
Yeah, no, witches aren't immortal.
No, maybe not specifically all... Like, maybe not generally all witches, but maybe specifically, you know, some kind of spell. Who knows? Like,
well, I mean, wasn't that the whole thing that, you know, they were marrying, or she was marrying... You know, the two Darrens or the two Dicks, and, you know, that she was surrendering her potential.
Ooh, that's a good point.
Well, I have no idea. You've thrown a whole, you didn't even watch the show.
Okay. Ah, so here's a question. Would she have gotten on the show with, like, Dick Sargent, but have had to ask the questions with Dick York?
I'll be totally honest with you. I know the whole, like, that's a pop culture standard. You're absolutely right. But I cannot tell the difference. They both have that weird chin and those weird, like, deep-set eyes. And like
they've both got a very Frank Burns-esque manner about them.
Yeah, and they both just sound and look about the same. I mean, I know they're different guys, and I could probably side-by-side tell the difference. But when they switched it up, I could not tell the difference at all.
Well,
they were sort of weaselly.
Okay, so if we assume that, for sake of argument, that Jeannie's, you know, frankly, significantly more advanced powers are tempered by the fact that she's, you know, kind of silly. Mm-hmm. Then, which I'm just saying is a hypothetical, then really it boils down to the men, right?
Mm.
what it really comes down to when you're playing the newlywed game, the classic newlywed game, you're playing how well do you know your spouse?
Right, and you're right. But remember, they would ask questions of, I believe it was usually the guys were on TV first, and the girls were out of the room, and then the girls would come back, and the guys would be out of the room. I think that's usually how it went.
And,
right?
And they would, I think so. And they would, Matt, do you remember this? They would ask them questions, and then the wives and the husbands would have to come back in and predict what their answers were.
Yeah, I think so.
And no one ever got more than like two.
Well, yep. I think if I may, gentlemen,
you may.
Thank you. I think if we're going on, I'll give you that Jeannie's powers were more than Samantha's.
Samantha's were less more.
Exactly. but Jeannie was kind of a dumbass.
That's what I said. She's silly.
That's being polite about it. I think she was sort of a dullard and powerful dullard, but a dullard nonetheless. I think Samantha is more intuitive.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I think those roughly counterbalance. So it boils down to which of the men is smarter or...
But well, not necessarily smarter, just knows their mate better.
Well, I mean, that's got to be Larry Hagman. I mean, he found her in a bottle, for crying out loud. Darren doesn't know anything.
He's kind of self-centered.
He's a jug-eared jackass.
Sort of a jug-eared jackass. And frankly, I don't think... I mean, the fact is he married this woman without knowing that she was several hundred years old to begin with.
And a witch.
Jeannie, and maybe those were different times, but I would like to think that if I married someone, I would at least know what supernatural powers
well,
they
honey,
actually
it's
possessed.
Funny you mentioned that.
Ooh, are we breaking the story here?
I would know if you had any supernatural powers, because I sure as hell hope that they would have surfaced
have
before
Have you seen
now.
My fantasy football team? I have Arian Foster.
Okay,
I have
okay, Dwayne. Okay.
You're,
well,
you're losing us and our entire audience. This
losing
year.
Everybody there. No,
I'm
babe.
Just saying.
Yeah, so I would
I am
think,
a genius.
Right.
Super genius.
I think Darren is probably the more clueless of the two men.
Oh, without question.
I think the Larry Hagman, all I ever thought about him when he was on that show was Dallas.
Well, yeah, and I think it's very telling that you both refer to him by the actor's name, whereas Darren, you refer to by the character's name.
Mm. Well, yeah, because there weren't two Larry Hagmans. There were two Darrens.
But it's Major Nelson. You need to say Major Nelson.
Yeah, but I never really respected him so much as an officer.
I actually got to go with Jen on this, because, I mean, Larry Hagman is Larry Hagman. I mean, when you're watching that, and maybe obviously in the 60s this was different, but for us, you know, we are children of the 70s and 80s, and you see Larry Hagman, you don't think, wow, that's a fine actor. What noble lines. No, you think Larry Hagman.
He's like Shatner, like Southern.
You think, you know what? I don't care who shot you. I'm just glad you're dead.
Very well. Well, now let me throw this at you real quick.
I've got another response to this, but go ahead.
Well, when it comes to the women, mm-hmm. wouldn't you think the way Jeannie obsesses and practically worships Larry Hagman, wouldn't you think that just gives her the edge over Samantha, who knows and loves Darren, but also takes care of the kids and also has her own life and maybe doesn't obsess over every tiny detail about his person?
Jeannie's sort of a stalker.
She was obsessive, but about him. I mean, she demonstrated, you know, day in, day out that she had almost no understanding whatsoever of, you know, military life, which, you know, in the Air Force in the 1960s would actually be, that's pretty much her only job.
Yeah.
Is to know about his military protocol, and she knew nothing about it. She,
okay, but did Samantha know that much about the Tate agency?
She did.
She knew Larry Tate very well.
She had more common sense than anyone else on the show.
And if you recall, there were several episodes where, you know, Larry would actually call Samantha up asking mm-hmm. for advice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall. I never watched these shows very much, so...
Why are you asking questions about them?
Because you guys watched them. That's the point.
Okay. So let me flip the script on you a little. Because really, I mean, and the reason why I asked about Bob Eubanks is Bob Eubanks is a hound dog. I mean, we've all seen, you know, the off the air tapes, right? So really, it boils down to which one does Bob Eubanks want to bang?
Oh, Genie.
I think he'd have an easier time with Genie. He would have an easier time with Samantha's evil twin, Serena.
Ooh, now see there, you really blew me away, because I remembered that existed, but I haven't thought about that in years. So.
Yeah, but you know, I don't think it's the newlywed game plus evil mistress who wants to take away husband. You know,
I would watch that show though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I would totally.
Unfortunately, we're gonna have to wrap this up. One final thing though. I'm pretty sure Genie and Larry Hagman get disqualified because those guys were never married, right?
No, that's not true.
No, they
did
get married.
Ah, is it in the final season when they ruined everything?
Yes.
Yes. Excellent. Yes. That was their shark jumping.
Their cousin Oliver, if you will.
Yes.
Exactly.
Very well. Unfortunately, we got to wrap this up. We got some other people to talk to, but always a pleasure. We do appreciate talking to you guys, and I'm sure we will again soon.
So did we win?
Your no prizes
yes,
in the
you man. Won the gentleman.
Yay!
Sweet.
We
Happy
win!
Festivus.
Take care.
Hey, bye.
The guys ask their friend Mike D to compare the relative merits of a couple of classic sci-fi legends.
All right. How long has it been since we had you on, Mike? It's been, what, like 6 months, 8 months, a year, some damn thing?
I don't remember. Maybe 6 months?
Too long.
Maybe a year?
Oh.
One of those two.
Far, far too long.
Oh, you are too kind.
It's good to have you back.
Yes,
a warm and fuzzy.
However, I'm going to be honest with you, Mike. We don't know you that well. We'd like to, but we don't. So,
it's because I'm not on Twitter.
Well, that may be part of it, but and we're not on that message board anymore, so that's probably part of it. But the thing is, for this show, we're trying to tailor questions to people specifically, to their interests, to their specific expertise. So we went digging. We went digging on your Facebook, and we discovered that your self-admitted guilty pleasure is Flash Gordon.
Yes.
So we're wondering if you, Mike, can answer, what are the merits of Flash Gordon versus Buck Rogers? Why doesn't Buck Rogers have a theme song, possibly like Queen's nemesis Prince? And why doesn't Flash have a robot as cool as Tweaky? Beady, beady, beady.
Okay. Oh, well, I have a two-pronged question here, so let me answer from the top. The first part being the theme song.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember correctly, the Buck Rogers 70s show for its time had a pretty swank theme music to it.
Did it?
Yes.
It's just nothing compared to the Queen score.
Right.
From the 80s movie. And I think it's basically due to the fact that, Flash Gordon came, I guess, at the tail end a couple of years after the Buck Rogers show had been on. So maybe one was a precursor to the other because, this old 40s pulp hero actually worked in a TV format, and then they took the next one that they could find and they made a big budget movie out of it. And then somebody had the unbelievably brilliant idea of having Queen do the music. And then the rest is history.
So let me ask you this. If Queen had not done the music, would you care?
Yes, I still think I would care. I don't know if I would care as much. Maybe I'd lose about 20% caring, but there's still a whole lot of over the top bad acting and really sexy women in that movie at a really important time in my life when just that hit the HBO sweet spot, that movie. Just at that age where I'm like, oh, hey.
See, and you're a couple years older than me. So I missed that whole envelope. Unfortunately, I've actually never seen it.
You've never seen it.
No, and to go further and to alienate myself from everyone I've ever known, I'm not actually that much of a Queen fan, to be honest with you.
Oh.
I know. Bring your stones, bring your hatred. That's fine.
Oh, I will.
I can.
Yeah, I'm first to throw one.
Here's the
Ouch,
thing.
Dude.
Here's the thing, and I don't want to get into a yes they are, no they're not. I don't want to get into a hate thing. But Queen to me seems like a novelty band that just never stopped being a novelty band.
Oh.
They seem like a gimmick to me. They seem like a kind of an over
the
top.
If the gimmick is being badass, then yes.
Yeah.
See, I don't see badass there. It feels like they're just being ironic and we're not in on the joke or something. I don't know. I don't get it. But again, I don't want to insult something you guys like. That's my
No, I think that a lot of Freddie Mercury's posturing probably was very much in the know as far as he was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't stop it from being really cool.
And
the music is awesome. And just, man, Brian May could just, the licks that came out of that guitar were just really awesome.
I think had Bohemian Rhapsody not shown up in Wayne's World, I might not feel this way.
Mm.
But I think the fact that song got run into the ground in the early 90s just it died for me.
It's my least favorite of their songs.
Well, that helps.
Yeah.
So back to the question at hand, back to the Flash Gordon.
Okay, yeah, we have a second part of that question, which is why didn't Flash Gordon have a robot as cool as...
Tweaky.
What was that robot's name again?
Tweaky.
Tiki? Tweaky?
Yeah.
Okay.
Beedy, beedy, beedy.
Beedy, beedy, beedy.
Look, you don't need a midget in an aluminum suit when you have Princess Arden walking around in basically a lace thong, for lack of anything else. You have... Timothy Dalton acting all Robin Hoodie. Oh, you have the King of the Hawkmen. He had way cooler stuff than a tin robot. You don't need Tweaky in that movie. You've got Max von Sydow.
Well, fair.
Isn't Brian Blessed in that too?
Yeah, he's the Hawkman. He was fantastic. I was there was like a small window, and I know it was probably internet fan rumor that Brian Blessed was going to play Odin in the Thor movie, and that just didn't pan out. I don't know if they even offered it to him, but man, that would have just been perfect.
See, I the Flash Gordon, like, I might check it out at some point just to check it out. But when I worked in a video store, we had this awful, and these are, you know, ubiquitous now, but back then they were fairly rare, this awful, like, softcore porn parody of it called Flesh Gordon.
Oh, yeah, I remember Flesh Gordon.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that, I always confuse the two. Like, is that the one with the asteroids? Or
It's almost as cheesy.
And when you talk about all the sexuality in it, that just confuses me further.
Well, I might be projecting a lot of sexuality onto a really crappy movie.
No, and I'm with you there, because, I mean, really,
oh, yeah.
we all got to that point where there was a certain movie on cable that hit us at the right time. And
yeah. I don't honestly know, though, Algar, how it's going to play for you at this age, because it's such a ridiculous trollop of a film that I think that all of its awesomeness comes in appreciating it for the first time at 12 years old.
Yeah, that's fair. Matt, where do you weigh in on this thing?
I haven't seen either of them.
Really?
Yeah.
You haven't seen Flash Gordon. That just seems like something that you would have never seen.
Yeah, you'd think so. I just never got around to it.
Well,
I like that theme song, though.
You're mentally 12, so you should still appreciate it now, right?
That's true. I am mentally 12. And I do like that sort of pulpy sci-fi.
Well, I mean, I could still get into that to some degree. I mean, I actually liked Sky Captain. I didn't think that was as bad as a lot of people said.
That's a good flick.
It wasn't good, but it definitely preserved
it. It was an enjoyable flick.
Yeah, it preserved that 40s pulpy thing pretty well, I think. Mm. And wasn't there something else recently like that?
Probably.
Probably not with this level of camp, though, is the thing.
Ray Gun Men.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Flash Gordon level of camp is something that you can only attain by having a lot of people working on a film that are completely inept. you can't force it. You can't make it ironic. It just, that is the kind of magic that happens when nobody knows what they're doing.
And see, I think we may have lost that in filmmaking these days because too many people are aware. Like, there's too much self-awareness and too much irony, and you don't have that innocence that results in something like that anymore, I don't think.
Right.
That might have a theory that the people that normally would make movies that badly are still making them, but are covering the movie's shittiness by saying that no, I'm completely self-aware and it's supposed to be like this.
Like been working out for Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah,
basically.
Well,
although that was after the fact, I think that there's some people who might be a little cannier than Tommy and do it.
I'm making a comedy.
You mean like head trauma victims?
Basically, yeah.
Anybody, you know. My dog is cannier than Tommy Wiseau, really, honestly. And my dog's stupid for a dog.
No, it's probably shoot sexier sex scenes.
Well, yeah. What's that went to a weird place. What's odd is I was just listening to an interview with John Hodgman talking about Buckaroo Banzai in much the same way. In that confluence of strange early 80s, like, camp and pulp and, you know.
Strange. What's great about Buckaroo Banzai's camp and pulp is that it comes from Buckaroo Banzai was clearly made by the Richard Kelly of its day. Richard Kelly is the guy that did Donnie Darko and The Box. He's a guy that requires like giant schematics to figure out what's going on in his mind. You know, there was like this big, you know, when Donnie Darko came out and everybody thought it was brilliant and everybody thought it was genius because everything was kind of sort of vague.
Yeah, and then the director's cut came out and like explained it all, and it wasn't very good.
Yeah, no. It turns out that it should have been vague.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw The Box. I caught it on HBO because I couldn't bear to pay money to see it. But I mean, he took this very simple, elegant story by
The old Twilight Zone. Yeah, right. Exactly.
and just built all of this kind of Donnie Darko-ish bullshit around it. And Bakura Banzai is the same way, where there's just this intense, crazy, built-in mythology that kind of throws you in the deep end real early on. And then there's promises of other adventures to come. So clearly this was from a guy that had that same kind of mindset, but somehow in Bakuru Banzai, you know, it all kind of works because you're coasting off the charm of some really great actors that are involved in it. I mean, you got Christopher Lloyd, you got Peter Weller, you got a young Jeff Goldblum.
Yep.
So the movie works.
Clancy Brown, as Don Hodge or John Hodgman refers to him, motherfucking Clancy Brown.
Oh yes. He's always the man.
which hearing John Hodgman say motherfucking anybody was just a fucking delight. But no, absolutely. I actually haven't seen Bakuru Banzai, and that kind of made me want to. And the way you describe it sounds like everything they tried to do with like Leonard Part 6, but failed.
Mm-hmm.
That I've never seen more than 2 minutes of.
Well, nor should
probably
you.
Probably for the best.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that was in that few year window where I lived in a small town and all there was to do was go to the movies every week. And so I saw every movie released between 1986 and 1989.
Did you manage to catch Ghost Dad while you're at it? Did you see all the Cosby au revoir of this movie?
I did, unfortunately. I often find myself confusing Ghost Dad with Shelley Long's Hello Again because they're basically the same movie. Yeah, dead silence as well. There should be.
Yeah, there should be. That is a whole lot.
Look, there was nothing to do. Okay, I can't emphasize that enough.
Nothing to do.
That's an arcane movie.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Mike. Well, unfortunately, we got a couple other people to talk to, but always a pleasure. We got to have you on again, man. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, great, man. Anytime.
All right. Take care.
Many of us have done things while drunk that, upon sobering up, we've deeply regretted and gone to great lengths to cover up. Pat McDonald is no exception, but unfortunately for him, a photo recently surfaced online.
Matt, are we still pretending you don't know who he is? Or?
I think that gag's worn out now.
So time to bring it back. Is that it, Poodle Douche?
Yeah, exactly.
Who?
Yeah. Hi, Pat. How are you?
I'm so high right now.
Okay. I guess we're not going with our plan not to mention that on the air.
I thought we're keeping it subtle.
Yeah, on the down low. 420, that's your secret code.
Oh, secret drug codes.
Yeah, of course. So we got a question here that we have cooked up just for you.
Just for me?
Yeah. And actually, this relates to a picture that you posted on Twitter about a week ago, I think.
Oh, uh-oh.
So if you don't remember, I have a copy of it here that I can easily send back over to you. But you probably remember.
Okay.
So we're in possession of a certain incriminating canine-related picture that you posted to Twitter a few days ago.
Oh, yes.
What the hell is going on here? You're being spooned by a giant bear. That's weird, man. Please check the show notes for reference, people. There's a giant, I guess it's a dog, but it's creepily human-shaped. And it's clearly spooning you.
Definitely in full spoon mode.
It might be in you.
It may well have been in me. It's that's Shatner, my bear dog, and
really, you called it Shatner.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, we can definitely appreciate that, I think.
Yeah, yeah. He does. But no, my girlfriend has convinced our dogs that they are people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, the hygiene products that we are consistently mentioning every time you appear. Would lead to
yeah, absolutely fancy pants. Those things aren't cheap.
Yeah, and I mean, how many dogs honestly are wearing, you know, undergarments to prevent spotting? I mean, that's crossing that dog people line already.
It really is. And then Shatner, our big dog, he will muscle his way onto the bed at night. I think he thinks that I'm not the boyfriend, and that he is.
He is the big spoon.
He really is. And so, I mean, maybe 20 minutes, half hour after that picture was taken and I was passed out, he kind of pushed me over and over and over. I woke up the next morning and looked over and the dog was spooning my girlfriend. And I had a leg off the bed and was just precariously kind of fucking hanging there.
Wow.
He's got an attitude problem.
But what really just creeped me out about this picture is just how remarkably human the body language is.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like a guy wearing a mask.
Oh, that'd be creepy, wouldn't it?
Dude from The Shining.
Yeah, like the guy in the bear suit, exactly.
Well, here, I tell a lie. That's not actually our dog. That's my girlfriend in a suit I made for her.
That's actually William Shatner himself. he goes up to Vancouver and shoots a few episodes of Real Vancouver and shoots a few episodes of Bleep My Dad Says and then comes down for a little spooning.
Well, oh, God, after that show, you'd want to spoon someone, you know?
Yeah.
You know, that show is doing better in the ratings than 30 Rock.
I don't understand.
No, I don't
speaking of things that make me want to open a wrist.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
And there was this great article, I'll try to link to it, scientifically proving why 30 Rock is the funnier show.
That was great.
Yeah, it very clearly spells out how many laughs per minute, how many kinds of jokes. Mm-hmm. It's just very clinical. But, yeah, and apparently people are still choosing Bleep My Dad Says.
That God, thing I mean, has that... been a go for like 12 years.
Yeah.
Like, what's it, Three and a Half Men, or Two and a Half Men.
Yep.
I thought it was two men, a half a pizza place, and Ray Romano.
No, it's two men and half a baby.
Oh, right. They fired Ted Danson, huh? They're just down to Steve Guttenberg and who's the other guy? Tom Selleck.
Yes, Steve, mustache.
Is Guttenberg still alive?
I think so. There's actually a weird video that I mentioned earlier of all these B-list celebrities singing Let It Be.
Oh, God, he was in there, too?
He was in there. Steve Guttenberg was in there, and he's looking pretty good for 50 or however old he is now. So,
Well, that's because he doesn't fucking work.
Yeah, but come on, acting, really? I mean, that doesn't...
No, he retired on that hot Police Academy money.
I'm pretty sure he's wanting to do the Police Academy, like, relaunch.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, I'd watch that.
Of course you would. And that's not even a judgment of you being high. That's just like, of course you would.
Do you guys
some
ever
movies
see the
find their audience?
The cartoon, yes, the cartoon,
yes.
Oh my!
One of several ill-conceived cartoons from that era that were based on R-rated films.
Yep, RoboCop.
RoboCop, yes.
Rambo. Yep.
My Little Pony.
Yep.
Was that based on Equus?
It was in my mind.
Very nice.
Hey.
All right, Pat. Well, unfortunately, we got to cut this short. We got other people to talk to, but always
so
a pleasure.
Much to do.
Absolutely. You guys have an excellent day.
You too. Take care, man.
Bye-bye, Internet.
While Matt was born a couple decades too late to have known the joys of the Atari 2600, Al remembers it fondly. Here he is talking to his friend Pete about their favorite games of yesteryear.
You know, when Matt and I do these, we sit down with a huge list of people. We make a bunch of phone calls or Skype calls. And 95% of the time people, are able to take our call or show up on Skype. But because we do them on Saturday afternoon, there is that 5% that's actually out in the world having a life. I know it's strange that we would know people like that, yet we do. Unfortunately, our friend Pete, Latep, as he is known there on the Twitter, was part of that proud 5% this past week. So we tried something a little different. This time, we left a voicemail message for him with his question and requested that he return our call to our voicemail with his answer. So this is more of a monologue than a discussion. I wanted to try something a little different, but I think it turned out really great. Pete has some great energy here, some really fun stuff to say. And really, if Matt and I had been in on this call, we would have just interrupted his brilliance. So, I'm going to read now the question that we left for him and then play for you his answer. We said, Pete, with the forthcoming highly anticipated sequel to Yar's Revenge, which we speculated would be called Yar Harder, or possibly Yar's Revenge's Revenge, what classic games from the wood-paneled Atari 2600 era do you think deserve a fresh coat of 2010 paint? And now, for you, Pete's answer.
Hello, Alan Matt. This is Pete. I am calling the Sarcastic Voyage voicemail because I missed the actual phone call that you guys made to me over the weekend, and now I have to answer a question instead of engage in a conversation, which probably would have gone a lot better, but hey, you know, we're practicing the utility of you having a Sarcastic Voyage voicemail, and I don't know what else. I was going to just script an answer to the question that you asked me, but I decided that I'd just wing it and start talking aimlessly into the air. I'm not even holding a phone right now. I made this call with my brain, toll-free. The question you guys asked me, which I'm sure you probably have repeated already in the editing of this, is if I could choose an Atari game, an Atari 2600 game, and throw a coat of fresh paint on it, what would it be? Well, first off, you mentioned Yar's Revenge and a sequel to Yar's Revenge. And if there were to be a sequel to Yar's Revenge, I probably would call it Yar's Revenge, Avenge the Failed Revenge, or some sort of variation. The Atari 2600 itself kind of holds a special place in me. It was the second home console system we had in our house when I was a kid, the first being ColecoVision. And the Atari 2600, I think I liked it better, mainly because it didn't have a weird spiral like telephone cord connecting the controller to the console, and because it was paneled with fake wood, which was a very popular thing in the 1980s and is very nostalgic. You know, there are a few games that I would probably say could use a nice modern-day slick remix. The first one, I'm going to have to say that Dragon Stomper, which is one of the like first functional video game role-playing games that I've read about or even remembered my dad playing and remember kind of looking at the cartridge but having really no recollection of what was happening at the time. Dragon Stomper was very simple. You were hunting a dragon and you were able to do different things. You know, instead of climbing down a pit with a rope, you can opt to have jumped down the pit but taken a slight bit of damage, which is pretty, you know, groundbreaking in like, what, 82, I suppose it would be. What was even more interesting is that there was another one called Sword Quest Air World, which I remember from the time, but I know nothing about. So I would probably remake both of those, but I don't really know why. Another one that comes to mind is Bobby Gettheim. Yes, Bobby Gettheim, which really is Bobby is Going Home. Bobby Gettheim was a German platformer for the Atari 2600, where you played a child named Bobby, and he had to get home. And there was jumping involved, and it was a platformer. And, you know, I mean, we need a game in 2010, going into 2011, named Bobby Gettheim 360. Why not? Another one that I'd say, there's a great one called Communist Mutants from Space. Now, this is awesome for a few reasons. The first being that it's called Communist Mutants from Space, and the startup screen had a great, like, logo in you know, pixels that said Communist Mutants from Space, and the C of Communist was actually a hammer and sickle, but it was pixelated, and that was always very interesting. Hopefully I'll find a picture of that, and I can email it to you guys. But more importantly, it was a supercharger game. Now, the Atari 2600 had an add-on called the Supercharger, which was a cassette. The games came on cassette, and there would be this device that you plugged into, I believe, the cartridge, and then an AV cable ran into the headphone jack of your stereo, and you played some type of cassette, which the game ran off of the cassette, and it would, you know, it would optimize the graphics and the sound off of a cassette. I never had this, but I would want it remade only because I never saw it, and I'm sure it's easy to get one, but if it's not, maybe they could just, like, put one out and sell it in Spencer Gifts, and then I'd probably have to go buy a cassette player because I don't think I have one of those anymore. I don't even know what I'm saying to you guys on the phone. I'm just rambling here in my lunch break. I hope it's sensible. You know, I don't know. Most importantly, I think that I would like to say that the one Atari 2600 game that has gotten a fair amount of remakes and got probably the slickest remake that I've seen of a game from that era is Space Invaders. Space Invaders was released many times, but I think the best version is Space Invaders Extreme and Space Invaders Extreme 2. They're both Nintendo DS titles, and it's classic Space Invaders gameplay with really, really colorful graphics and really crazy electronic music soundtrack, and it's just really fun, and there's, like, crazy combo chains, and it's just awesome. But one of the coolest things about it was that when the game was first out, the first Space Invaders Extreme, they released a peripheral device for your DS called, well, it wasn't called anything, it was a paddle. Like, if you guys remember the old paddles that had the dials on them and the wheels, you know, the ColecoVision had it, the Arkanoid and the arcades would have it. It was a paddle. And the Nintendo DS Lite, sadly, you can't use it on the newer iterations of the DSi or the DSi XL because they don't have a GBA slot, but the paddle itself plugged into the Game Boy Advance cartridge slot on the DS Lite, and you would be able to control the Space Invaders game with this paddle, and it was just really awesome, and that was a really cool thing, and that is a game that actually got remade. Final, I want Joust remade, goddammit, and I want it remade to be released on, like, WiiWare or Xbox Live Arcade or PlayStation thing, which I don't know the name of it because I don't have a PS3. I think that would be rad because Joust is rad and shit, ostriches are rad. And that's it. I'm really sorry I couldn't talk to you guys, you know, conversationally. This probably would have gone a lot smoother and I probably wouldn't have sounded like such a spaz. But I would like to wish both of you a happy holidays and all the Sarcastic Voyage listeners and all my friends. You guys, happy holidays and as I am known to do on this voicemail, I'm going to read a selection from a book. I don't miss him anymore, most of the time. Anyway, I want to. I wish I could, but unfortunately, it's true. Time does heal. It will do so whether you like it or not, and there's nothing anyone can do about it. If you're not careful, time will take away everything that has ever hurt you, everything you have ever lost, and replace it with knowledge. Time is a machine. It will convert your pain into experience. Raw data will be compiled, will be translated into a more comprehensible language. The individual events of your life will be transmuted into another substance called memory. And in the mechanism, something will be lost and you will never be able to reverse it. You will never again have the original moment back in its uncategorized, pre-processed state. It will force you to move on and you will not have a choice in the matter. That was one of my favorite paragraphs from a book that I'm reading called How to Live Safely in a Science Fictional Universe by Charles Yu. Why Yu? I don't know. Why Yu? And it's a great book, and I recommend it. And I can't even imagine what a spaz I must sound like. I hope it plays well. I don't know, guys. Again, that's that. Talk to you later.
Scott Ziolko has been confusing everyone he meets with a bizarre reference that apparently only he understands. Al and Matt spoke with him recently to try to get to the bottom of this.
Remember the early part of this year when we had Scott and Annie fighting and Scott was on like every other week and he was making songs? And what happened to that? He hasn't been on for... How long has it been,
mystery.
Scott? Like months?
It's been a while. I think the last time I was on was actually my musical debut.
Which was...
That is a hell of a thing to go out on.
Yeah, it was. But that was, what, April? I mean, that was before the wedding, I think.
I'm pretty sure. It was after Seattle, but it was before the wedding.
Yeah, quite some time ago. That is such a crime. That's the one thing. I know I'm kind of repeating myself, but that's the one thing I'm realizing as we round all these people up is we haven't had a lot of the people we enjoy having on, you know, as much as we should, I think. Also Scott.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
I was saying it before you did is all.
Damn it, stealing my shtick.
So, speaking of your shtick, we got a question here for you that kind of pertains to your shtick.
Oh boy.
So, on the Twitter there, so some days you kind of go off the deep end a little bit and One of your little pet causes was, what is it, Wood God versus Mangog?
Yeah.
Now, does
International, Interdimensional Private Eyes. You have to say the full title, which is Wood God and Mangog, Interdimensional Private Eyes.
Okay, so does that have anything to do with your similar obsessions with billboards or with squirrels?
I have so many like obsessions, like they vary from like week to week. So if I was as organized as other people, I would probably have a chart somewhere, but
Well, I mean, let's ad hoc one right now. Let's just throw one together real quick. Like, and I'm not saying explain the joke. Don't, you know, you don't have to actually explain it, but tell us how this all relates to each other.
Man, that's a complicated question. So I have to relate billboards with squirrels, with Woodgod and Mangog, probably also with my Save Quick Draw McDraw campaign.
Yeah, yes, and guys... how that all ties into the murder of John F. Kennedy.
Yeah, I'm afraid if I divulged in that information, I would have to kill everyone.
Oh, that's fine. We got nowhere to be.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, Ben, no. Man, I was expecting so many questions, and I wasn't expecting that one.
Exactly.
That's how we get you.
That is exactly how we get you.
Blindsided. Okay, so let's see. Billboards relate to squirrels in that squirrels sometimes mistake billboards for trees, so they climb up them and probably find a place to hide their nuts on them, which would cause an investigation by the Mangog and Woodgod interdimensional private eyes and team, because they want to find out why squirrels are hiding all the nuts in these billboards, which coincidentally is where someone's planning on jumping off a high building onto Quick Draw McDraw, which I am urgently trying to prevent because there's a shortage of talking horses that knock out people with guitars in this world.
Very nicely done.
I buy it.
Yeah.
And of course that all ties into aglets, which are of course sinister.
The Quick Draw McGraw thing, I threatened to, I was going to murder the entire Hanna-Barbera universe, I think.
Well, you said you were going to jump off a tall building on the Quick Draw McGraw.
Yeah, but I was giving specific examples of specific, like, I was going to shoot Fred Flintstone with a harpoon gun, and I was going to put Huckleberry Hound in, like, a giant food processor, and I was going to, you know, like, I was trying to get specific with each one instead of just saying, I'm going to kill them all. So, Quick Draw ended up...
You're the Warren Ellis of syndicated cartoon characters.
Listen, I'm the Warren Ellis of nothing, first of all. Secondly, Hanna-Barbera characters deserve to die. I'm sorry. That's just how I feel about it. With their repeating backgrounds.
And their stupid xylophone feet.
And their, Come, now you're getting me all worked up all over again. But really, if you have that much of a sentimental attachment to Quick Draw, I suppose I could spare him.
Well, you know, if it wasn't for Hanna-Barbera, we wouldn't have Space Ghost.
Okay, but let's say just Hanna-Barbera's comedy, quote-unquote. Animal character based on a comedian that they imitated the voice for. I'm getting all angry again. Huckleberry Hound was just like, obviously, Andy Griffith. And come on. Damn it.
And, of course, Chief Wiggum was...
Yeah, that's a
whole other thing. No, I really don't have any legit reason for saving the Hanna-Barbera characters other than, you know, it's just another crazy cause that I'll take up on a whim.
Yeah, but I get the
which
feeling...
Which I'm wanting to do.
It feels like a crazy cause you will take up just to spite me, is what that one felt like. So,
well, that's the real cause.
I gotta admire that, at least. That aspect of it, I can respect. If you were actually defending Quick Draw, I don't know. But if you're doing it despite me, well, that's A-OK with me.
I do have a particular fondness for Elkabong, so...
Well, I do enjoy that sound effect, if nothing else. And if I can locate it, I will drop it
in.
Kabong!
In fact, Scott, I think that's how we're going to play you out now. We're going to kabong you off the phone. So
That's fair enough.
Anything you want to plug before we clobber you with a guitar?
If you want to check out my Tumblr blog, where I'm starting a new recurring comic book, Owen Steelheart.
Oh, that's right. We haven't mentioned this at all on the show yet. You did your first. Are you calling them issues, or just like a storyline, or what's the label for?
We'll call them issues for now. I'm doing like 10 to 12 page issues for this new fantasy comic.
And you did your first one, and a lot of people really enjoy that, me included. Matt, have you had a chance to look at that yet?
Not yet, no.
It's quite good, Scott. Like, I've been watching his art and his storytelling improve. I'm not supposed to talk like this in front of you. I apologize. I'm actually complimenting you.
That's quite all right. Yeah, we'll allow it this one time. Yeah,
but no, really. I mean, I picked up your handmade, test tube book at Chicago like 6 years ago, and since then you've really come a long way. And this is a great story. It's really worth checking out. I'm not even a huge fantasy fan, but I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, breaking out of my own shtick. It's something I'm actually really proud of. I'm really happy with how this particular story's turned out, and it seems to get a really positive reaction. I don't want to talk too much about it because there is kind of a twist to the story that people find in the last page, but it is a fantasy comic with kind of a different perspective on it. And I think even people that don't necessarily enjoy fantasy stories or maybe are, kind of, repellent to them, I think it's something that might catch their interest as well, because I do kind of come at it from a different perspective. So, but yeah, it's at Scott Zioko versus Comics .tumblr.com. So,
and we'll throw a link in the BS. We'll put a link in the show notes as well in case people can't spell, because often they can't. All right, Scott.
Well, just the internet.
We always appreciate your time, and great having you on. And here comes the kabong.
Well, once again, it's time to say goodbye to Al and Matt. They finished their cookies and milk, and it's time for them to turn in for the night. We'll come back to visit them again next week, when they're sure to have more questions. Until then, farewell.